Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. Right now, we are entrenched in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa.
All right, Russ, number two goes to you. You just mentioned Anthony Kim and how he has joined Tiger, Phil, and Kenny Perry as the only multiple winners on tour this year. Where does this now rank Kim among the best players under the age of 30? And I'll throw in some names we talked about: Scott, Sergio, Immelman, Rose, Baddeley, O'Hare, J.B. Holmes, Bubba Watson, Camillo, Vijegas. Where is Anthony Kim rank with those guys as the best player under 30 right now?
Great question. I love it. And obviously, Anthony Kim belongs in the discussion. There's no doubt about it. You got to start the best players under 30 list with two guys, Adam Scott and Sergio Garcia, because they're way ahead of the rest in terms of wins. Sergio's got 7 career victories. Adam Scott's got 6. So those guys are right there at the head of the list in terms of total victories and experience. However, you know, Adam Scott and Sergio, both of them are still looking for their first major championship, something that Trevor Immelman, another guy that you mentioned, has accomplished earlier this year at Augusta. So you got to put Trevor right there as well. So I go with Trevor, Adam Scott, and Sergio Garcia, 1, 2, and 3. But after that, I'm going to put Anthony Kim right there at number 4. You know, AK is now 14th in the official Golf World rankings after his victory last week at the AT&T National. He's won twice this year. His maiden was at the Wachovia in Charlotte. He's such a solid player, and those are quality wins. Winning at Congressional, it's a major championship venue. Winning at the Wachovia, which is notoriously one of the best fields of the year. I'll put Anthony Kim fourth, and then fifth place. I'm gonna have a tie again between, you know, a bunch of guys that have already won at least once or twice on tour: Sean O'Hare, J.B. Holmes, Charles Howell III, Aaron Baddeley. I can't put either Bubba Watson or Camilo Vijegas there because they haven't won yet, even though I think that they've got just as much talent as Sean O'Hare and J.B. Holmes and Charles Howell III, but they haven't yet gotten it done, so it's hard to put them on the list. And then Justin Rose. Even though Justin Rose has yet to win on the PGA Tour, he is the reigning Order of Merit champion on the European Tour, so he belongs in the discussion as well.
I can't disagree with anything you said, Russ. I think Anthony Kim, the guy we're going to talk to, Ian Baker Finch, a couple years ago mentioned this guy to us and said he's somebody you need to watch out for, and that's coming to fruition. So when a guy like Ian Baker says it, I take a lot of credence in what he says. So I would put him up there. Obviously, Sergio, I think, is the best of this lot, even though he's had a bunch of problems with putting and yips in terms of taking the club back. Remember, I think it was at Bethpage, he went through that whole thing where, you know, he went through the waggles and all that stuff, and has taken a bunch of criticism. And the thing about it is, despite all that stuff, he's still, like you said, he's still winning. I mean, he's still figuring out a way to win once or twice a year, despite probably going through a bunch of swing changes and the battles with the putter. So it shows you how much talent Sergio has, even though I personally don't really like him. But at the same time, I can't argue with the talent. Adam Scott, another guy, classic swing. Butch Harmon, you know, taught this guy. I mean, he looks like Tiger almost down to a tee. His big thing, mental again. He's got to come. He's got to use that talent and transfer that into actual wins. So I put those two guys at the top. The other guy I throw in there is Aaron Baddeley. Here's a guy that had a great initial start to his career. He won the Australian Open or something, beat Greg Norman.
At like 19 years of age.
Something ridiculously young, and then kind of, again, settled down. And you didn't really hear from him until kind of the U.S. Open last year at Oakmont. But when you can putt as good as Aaron Baddeley can putt at this age, it's a matter of just getting the other things tweaked, you know, the driving, the ball striking, those kind of things. I know that's easier said than done, but at the same time, if you can just get him on the green, I think he can become a real great player too. So I'd put Scott, Sergio, Baddeley, and then Anthony Kim in there.
Not Trevor Immelman.
Immelman, he's got to show me a little bit more. Yeah. I think, you know, the Masters is great, but, you know, what's he done since? Right. I mean, great players follow something like that up with something else great, and he's just kind of cashed it in. I'm not saying a lot of other players do that too, but truly great players follow that up.
Great point, Pat. He, you know, we're still waiting for Trevor Immelman to win again after that huge Masters victory, and he has won a couple of times on the PGA Tour. He won in Cog Hill in Chicago a few years ago, beating Tiger at the Western Open, which is now defunct. Well, it's the BMW, and it's every other year in Chicago now. This year it'll be in St. Louis, but it's not the same. It's not the Western Open that I know and love. Anyway, the thing I love about Anthony Kim, And this is my last point before I move on, and I just think this kid is going to win so much on the PGA Tour, and everyone thinks it, too. Everyone can't be wrong, right? I mean, everyone loves this kid, and they just think that he's the best. Obviously, he's the best 23-year-old in the world, and he might be the best under 30, you know, right there with Sergio and Adam Scott. He's got such a complete game. I mean, when you talk about Sergio, there's a huge gaping hole in his game. That's the putter. There's no doubt about it. Adam Scott, probably, I would say, his mental toughness is his gaping hole. He just doesn't come across as, a killer, like he had that killer instinct. Anthony Kim's got it all. He doesn't have any weaknesses. He ranks 41st or better in all the categories: driving distance, greens and reg, putting average, eagles, birdies, scoring average. And because of that, at the age of 23, he ranks 4th in the PGA Tour's all-around category. This kid's 23 years old, and he's 4th right now in the all-around category. That's just phenomenal. He's got a complete game. He's got no weaknesses at all.
Well, I've said in previous shows that at some point we're going to get another 5 to 7 major winner, because it happens every 10 years.
Every 10 years, this is the guy.
Maybe this is the guy that will be the 5 to 7 major winner.
I agree with you, Pat. I think everyone is thinking that he's that guy, that challenger for Tiger Woods, because you're exactly right. Arnold Palmer, 10 years later, Jack Nicklaus. 10 years later, Tom Watson. You know, right? Tiger Woods came along in 97. 10 years later, Anthony Kim, he's here. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. It's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. What do Nicklaus, Palmer, Hagen, and Sarazen have in common? Find out when you play championship golf at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And third and final topic, Pat, this week on the Nationwide Tour. We rarely talk Nationwide Tour golf, but we will this week, because for the first time in the tour's 18-year history, it's the 554th tournament ever in Nationwide Tour history, and it's the very first one with a 7-figure purse. A $1 million purse on the line this week at the Nationwide Tour Players' Cup in Bridgeport, West Virginia, at the Pete Dye Golf Club. And the Nationwide Tour, you know, we've seen a lot of guys come from this tour. Great players. Tom Lehman, Jim Furyk, Brett Wederich, Zach Johnson, Stuart Sink, Ben Crane, Chris DeMarco. The Nationwide Tour has put out some phenomenal players. And some officials are now openly saying that the Nationwide Tour might become the sole avenue for gaining a PGA Tour card, superseding the annual qualifying tournament. So, Pat, I ask you this. Should the PGA Tour get rid of Q School and just rely on the Nationwide Tour for its upcoming talent?
Russ, I think this is an excellent idea. This shows you, much more so than like what I call like an FCAT type thing, where it's like in one day you're going to take this test and we're going to determine if you can go from third grade to fourth grade or whatever they do here in Florida. I think that puts way too much pressure on kids, and it doesn't really give you a fair estimation of their intelligence or learning ability. In this case, Q School is a 6-day pressure cooker where sometimes a guy gets hot and he does well. Sometimes guys who are quality players are fighting some kind of a small injury or whatever it is, and they can't get it done for those 6 days. And I think it places almost an undue and unrealistic expectation, like, okay, we got this 6 days. We found the top 30 players or whatever we're going to allow into the PGA Tour now. That doesn't, in a way, doesn't make sense. Again, there's a lot of good players that can get hot for 6 days, and then all of a sudden they're on the PGA Tour and they do nothing.
Right.
With the Nationwide Tour, you've got a microcosm of a PGA Tour event. This is exactly what, you know, the courses might be a little bit shorter. They might be a little bit more off the beaten path, but essentially it's the golf that you're going to see played at the PGA Tour. So to get guys from that list playing over a course of a season, I think gives you a much truer representation of guys that can then take that to the next level. So I'm not trying to say you need to completely get rid of the Q School, but I think this is an excellent way to supplement it. And I'd put more credence and more weight on a Nationwide Tour, whatever it is, than I would on a 6-day Q School.
Great point, Pat. You know, currently, 25 players graduate from the Nationwide Tour every year and get their PGA Tour cards. Perhaps you start weighing that greater. Give 30 Tour cards to Nationwide Tour guys and start reducing the number that come from Q School. I wouldn't say, however, that I want to get rid of Q School totally, because I think Q School is a great opportunity for rank and file tour veterans that fall short in a given year to make it up and get back on tour that following year. For instance, guys that are playing on the PGA Tour this year with their tour cards, you know, if they don't fall into that top 125 list, if you get rid of Q School, they have no other option. They've got to drop back down, and maybe this might be a good thing, but I just think it might not. They, you know, if there were no Q School, the PGA Tour card holders currently that are playing in the 08 season that fall below the 125 list, they would have to drop down to Nationwide Tour level next year in 09. They would have to play a full season on the Nationwide Tour to get back to PGA Tour status in 2010. There'd be a gap there. There wouldn't be any chance for guys that fall short of 125 to seamlessly remain on the PGA Tour year in, year out. Perhaps that's a good thing, though. Maybe it would weed out the weaker players and make them go down a level and try to get back up to their game versus having a six-day remedy at Q School and not missing a beat.
The only thing I'll say about that, Russ, is the guys that you're talking about, guys from 125 to 175 or something,
right?
Like, say those 50 guys. A lot of those guys, or a fair amount of them, you know, have some name recognition. So I think what could happen is, hey, maybe they'd have to go to Nationwide for a little bit, but if they do well at Nationwide because of their name recognition, because they've been around for so long or whatever, I think they would get sponsor exemptions into PGA Tour events if they did well enough in just a couple Nationwide Tour events rather than making them play the whole season,
right,
and go up. So they would still have opportunities, I would think, to play in PGA Tour events through sponsor exemptions as long as they were playing decently in those Nationwide events. So it wouldn't be like, hey, you guys can't play at all on the PGA Tour now. You've got to go back and suffer through a whole season at Nationwide before we'll allow you up there. I think there's ways to get them in to PGA Tour events if they're playing decently enough. And, again, I'm not saying you have to get rid of the Q School. I just think you need to de-emphasize the amount of people that get in through Q School because it is, Russ, really just a six-day, and if you
cram
get hot,
session.
You're in. And I'm not saying that hasn't worked for them for a long time, but you get a truer representation of PGA Tour-ready players, I think, over the course of a Nationwide season than you do in a six-day Q School.
No doubt about it. And, you know, there were some grumblings a couple years ago that maybe the Nationwide Tour was the second-best tour in the world. I know that a lot of the European Tour players took umbrage to that, and I don't know necessarily that I would say. It's just it's a testament to how good these players are on the Nationwide Tour. I don't know that I'd say they're better, you know, 1 through 100 than the European Tour. However, it's close, and it's in discussion. And there's no doubt in 18 years, the Nationwide Tour, formerly the Buy.com, the Nike, the Hogan originally, it's come a long way. Back in 1990, the Hogan Tour, their first graduating class, five players, but some good names. Tom Lehman was on that in that class. Jeff Maggart was in that class. A couple guys that won majors. So, there's, you know, been turning out talent year in, year out. John Daly came from the Nationwide Tour. Jim Furyk, John Daly, are we blessed by that? I mean, guy won two majors, so give him credit. Jim Furyk, Brett Wetterich, Zach Johnson, Stuart Sink, Ben Crane, Chris DeMarco this week in West Virginia, the first ever $1 million purse in Nationwide Tour history. And that was your PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Have you ever watched a golf tournament on TV and wondered how you would do on a course the pros play? It can happen at PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. You can play the PGA Tour's third toughest course, a wonderfully fiendish layout designed by Jack Nicklaus that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. The Arnold Palmer design course and the three other courses are just as devilish, making PGA National Florida's premier golf resort destination. For a customized tune-up and tee-off golf package that includes lessons and golf on the course with your instructor, go to pgaresort.com or call 877-742-6285.